Lecture 4, The Wunderhorn Symphonies.
We return to great masters, Mahler, his life and music, Lecture 4, entitled The Wunderhorn Symphonies. During the summer of 1893, just as he was finishing his second symphony, Mahler told his friend, Natalie Bauer Lechner, quote, "My first two symphonies contain the inner aspect of my entire life. I have written into them everything I have experienced and endured, truth and poetry and music. To understand these works properly would be to see my life transparently revealed in them. Creativity and experience are so intimately linked for me that if my existence were simply to run on as peaceful as a meadow brook, I don't think I would ever be able to write anything worthwhile," unquote. A quick word about this friend and confidant, Natalie Bauer Lechner, from whom we've heard so much. She was a violinist and conservatory classmate of Mahler's. In 1890, recovering from a nasty divorce, she traveled to Budapest to visit Mahler. When she wrote Mahler of her intention to visit, he replied, "I am curious to find out if we shall be silent or if we shall talk." Oh my goodness, did they talk? For the next 10 years, they talked. Their conversations were carefully transcribed by Natalie day after day and are contained in a manuscript entitled Mahleriana. Natalie was, according to Henri-Louis de Lagrange, the ideal eyewitness, a scrupulous, enthusiastic chronicler of his actions, gestures, and above all, words. More than anyone else, it is she who thus immortalized many events, anecdotes, ideas, opinions, and impressions that would otherwise have been lost. Oh my goodness, for the young Mozart or Bach or Beethoven to have had a Natalie Bauer Lechner in his life. Now, please, there were times when Natalie got on Gustav's nerves. While working on his second symphony, for example, during the summer of 1894, Mahler informed his sister, Justine, who managed his household, not to invite Natalie to their summer house at Steinbach, saying that he did not want, quote, "to be placed under surveillance. I cannot stand her constant mothering, advising, inspecting, and spying. Delay her arrival as long as you can," unquote. Without a doubt, Natalie was in love with Gustav, who, for his part, considered her one of the boys. Every now and then, her true feelings towards Mahler would come to the surface. For example, in February of 1896, Mahler and Natalie were in Berlin for a performance of Mahler's first symphony. The music was badly received by the audience. Mahler attended a post-concert party, but he was too depressed to derive any pleasure from the company and, as soon as he could, returned to his hotel with Natalie. Some minutes after they had said goodnight on the hotel landing, she knocked on his door, entered hurriedly, and without saying a word, kissed his hand. Greatly embarrassed, Mahler exclaimed, "Natalie, what are you doing?" But his passionate and faithful admirer had already fled, slamming the door behind her. Sadly, but quite predictably, their relationship broke off following Mahler's marriage in 1901. Natalie Bauer Lechner was one of the very few people who understood and appreciated Mahler's music and compositional potential. Difficult though it may be for us to believe it today, Mahler seriously considered giving up composition in 1891 at the age of 31. At this point of his life, he had little time to compose. His conducting and administrative duties assured that months, often years, would pass between periods of composition. And I would tell you that he had almost no success in getting what music he had written performed, despite his extraordinary musical connections. When Richard Strauss wrote Mahler in 1891 and requested some of Mahler's scores, Mahler replied this way, and I quote, "As for my scores, dear friend, I am on the point of locking them away forever. You cannot imagine the constant rejections that I experience. I can no longer stand hearing these gentlemen explain to me that it would be impossible to perform them. This endless, useless peddling of my music. A week ago, Hans von Bülow almost died while I was playing one of my works to him. You have never experienced anything like it, and you cannot understand that one finally loses faith. And, dear God, the world can get along without my works," unquote.